are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop Backstage here with Josh Elmore from Cattle Decapitation Guitarist. You guys just put out Death Atlas. Now you guys are on tour with Author and Punisher, Vitriol.
Atheist.
And Vitriol.
And
Primitive Man.
Primitive Man. You already said Vitriol.
Full of
Primitive
Hell,
Man.
Unfortunately, had some crappy situation go down. They got their van and their bus stolen and all that crap.
Unfortunately.
They had to go home. You guys are killing it on the road, apparently. How's the tour been, man?
It's been great. I mean, we've had, the Full of Hell had their incident, which we regrettably, they had to, understandably, they got everything stolen.
Oh, yeah.
They had to bow out, and that was outside of Atlanta. So they're originally on. They were doing half the tour. They were going to be up until Chicago, which was on the 5th.
Yeah.
And they had that incident and had to go home early. But, they had a friend set up a crowdfunding thing for them. And they surpassed it. Yeah, they surpassed it. And they met their goal.
And now they're donating some money to good causes.
Yeah, they're donating. If I'm correct, it's a fund in, I think it's the Baltimore area where they're from.
I think it's to give instruments to inner city youth, right?
Yeah. It's just a fund underprivileged youth who are trying to get into music and everything. So
passing it on,
exactly,
man.
You know, they bad situation. And then they still have, the generosity at the end of the day to still, return thing. Or,
absolutely,
give back or whatever, a nowadays term would be. So,
the new record's Death Atlas. It's a monster of a record in ways more brutal, in ways more melodic. Mm-hmm. I would say it's your opus, but who knows what you're going to do next?
Yeah.
You guys just keep progressing and keep progressing. We're going into 2020. It's been a hell of a decade for you guys. Put out some killer records. What have been your favorite songs so far to play live? It's like choosing a baby, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, for the new... Or at least the songs we've been playing for the new record, we've been doing 5 of those.
Cool.
I would say... Let's see here. Time's Cruel Curtain is always fun.
Yeah, we just played that one. So.
Yeah, that one's cool. Death Atlas, the title track is great. Fun to play. All of them are. Which is your favorite kid or whatever, there's always the one that's, there's always the one that, you love them both, but, there's usually one that's a slight disappointment.
Yeah.
So, no, but all...
Yo, keep it 100.
Yeah. So, I'm totally... content, with playing every one of those songs.
Hey, here's a question that we want to ask you, especially because we're coming down to the end of a decade, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of encapsulating, a lot of music, life, politics, the world.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are you a very deep thinking band, clearly. It's part of the reason
depends.
I like you guys. You know how far I go.
Cheesy Gordita Crunch versus Gordita. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Well, hey, dude. You got to get some tacos up in this every once in a while. Hey, so how long do you think we have left on this planet?
Well,
I
think it's up to us
to
determine that. And, as far as from now, I do not have all the scientific data, which someone's going to go, oh, see?
Someone in some comment section.
It's all nonsense.
Is reading this right now going, oh, Josh is so full of
Well, different reason for that, but anyway.
Maybe literally and figuratively, I bet.
Well, not as of an hour
ago.
It's
the haunted bathroom. I know it's a tough question, but
I could not put an actual timeline or anything X amount of years or decades or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think that, yes, there's... I'll readily acknowledge that the earth goes through all these different, regardless of people's influence or not, just these sort of phases and everything. And I understand people saying, well, dude, the earth is just, heating and cooling just as a natural part of its cycle. Totally agree. My lip just touched that. No, it's not shocked. No, it was just I don't know where this has been. This is not Gigi Allen's microphone, hopefully. Soon. But at the same time, I feel that there's we're not helping anything,
Absolutely.
So, whether your sort of interpretation of how much effect humans have on it is, it's kind of here, let me try to come up with some nonsense real quick.
Yeah, see what you got.
It'd be like your house being dirty, and it's it goes through phases. Everyone's we picked up, whatever. But clearly, turning a blind eye to it and letting it go to and be like, well, it's always dirty in some point, and then walking away and not caring about it and turning.
It's not dirty. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's dirty sometimes. We clean up when grandma comes over. It's fine, whatever. And then, but it's going to be this way anyway. And just walking away. It's like, well, even if you're a religious person, like, you know, Christian or whatever, it's like, if in that faith, it's like you were supposed to be custodians of the earth kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, at the very least, you want to like clean up after yourselves, you know? So, I mean, I think it goes in degrees and people, oftentimes, you know, you can justify anything to yourself.
So my question is like, so you're, you know, you may see it otherwise, but I, from the outside, I'd see you guys as a pretty successful nationwide touring or internationally touring band. How do you ever feel like you're in like a band bubble, and how do you get out of that bubble, and how much do you pay attention to like world issues and things outside, or do you ever just feel like, man, like, you're kind of like in the bubble
where you're so concerned with like the business, band business, and then dynamics.
How much?
I don't know. I try to like pay attention as much as possible. Like, look at my little news bits and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, like dad of the paper and all that. But
get the Wi-Fi at the venue.
And I try to do that. Like, try to find a, you know, it's impossible to find like a neutral news source
for sure.
I mean, is that possible?
Reuters is okay.
Okay.
They're pretty much, news.
And BBC to a certain
extent? To a certain extent. I think, I'm sure there's other outlets that I just don't know about that are like, no, this is straight up news. There's no slant. There's no, like, you know, packaging or filter that goes through it. So I look at that sort of stuff, but it is, I agree. It's, you can get so immersed in, once you get to a certain point as a band, I know it sounds pretentious asking to say. No, but it's like,
your routine.
You get that, but you have to be engaged in, you know, there's a division of labor, people handle different things, but you have to be engaged in the business portion of it, like, or you're just not going to survive.
Yeah.
So that just ends up taking over so much of, in addition to the actual practicing, writing, whatever, plant performing, and the music part of it, that whether you want to live in that bubble, you, or to a certain extent, you are going to have to, if you want to be able to continue and make it a viable, you know,
there's got to be some part of you that's always in that bubble.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to fall apart.
Oh, yeah. You have to have one foot in there at least part of the time. Yeah. So it's a really weird thing with, like, you know, your life outside of that, you know, and family, relationships,
because
whatever.
It comes about being one of the biggest parts of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being in this band.
Yeah, touring. Well, it's your, I mean, when you think it's your home, especially on years like this where it's, okay, tour cycle beginning, you're never at home. You're home for maybe 2 weeks every whatever, or, you know, there's a month. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with that time?
Well, the band's probably the longest relationship you've had in your life.
It's like a marriage.
Second to that, it's the, like, I mean, I've been in this since 2001 started in 96, 2001 for me. So, but I've been in bands for, since 93,
you know,
92.
I'm glad that you're...
Yeah, I've been making really questionable decisions for decades.
Well, it seems to be working.
Decades now.
But I'm glad that you
Thank
brought
Thank goodness
that
this is kind of working, or else I'd be like...
I want to take you back to that point, actually, because we always like hearing about like foundational, what we call the light bulb moment.
Oh,
most
yeah,
of us
absolutely.
Especially had a moment.
It's very important, I think,
like
for everyone.
An instance, a song, a concert, something.
Uh-huh.
An older brother, cousin, sister, family member gave you a piece of something that made you get into it. What was your light bulb moment? Was there a specific?
You mean
instance?
For like loving music more than like just liking to listen to Van Halen or playing guitar
getting
or
getting into heavy music?
Heavy metal.
Too.
Okay, cool.
And knowing that
Boom.
You wanted to do.
All right,
it.
I can give you several different things. Okay, I remember my mom was we're getting like the brakes done on the car, and I could hear Round and Round from Rat coming out of the work area, and I'd heard this song before, so it wasn't like this was, what is this new world of heavy metal, you know, or something like this.
Right.
But for some reason, it was just the sound of it echoing around like the shop, and me standing there probably in my little stupid shorts like this. It just that struck me.
How old were you? You think?
Well, Out of the Cellar came out in I think 84. So I would have been 9. And then you know, I was a huge Van Halen, I still am to a certain extent, you know. Van Halen, you know, up through, I even bought 5150. Sorry. I mean, Dreams was playing the other day and I was kind of like, damn. But yeah, I went and everything from, you know, 1 till up into that point, I was just devouring. And then the typical life cycle of like, I started buying the little grocery store in the small town that I live near, for whatever reason, someone was ordering Hit Parader, Rip, and like heavy metal magazines.
Wow.
A rather narrow, like there was one.
That person changed the world.
They did.
Through you.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what I need to do? That's I need crazy. To find out, because I think the owner's still alive. That
you got to find out.
I will like hit up Mr. Frank Lucas of Sidell, Illinois, and go, was that you?
Was it you, or was it some random or was it, stock boy dude?
Yeah, because it was like literally the town is like 600 people, and I think
you got lucky.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just like had a person that he knew, probably me, that was going to buy those things.
Yes.
But there weren't that many. It was like I would buy Mad, and it started with Hit Parade was the first music magazine I ever bought, and Rat was on the cover.
Yeah.
And
so that okay, you were sold.
Well, and so yeah, and then he got like, oh, he got, they, you know, remember they do the special editions like, oh, Hit Paraders, so-and-so. There was one called Hit Paraders Power Metal. And it wasn't like Power Metal like we think of it today. Okay. That's like, you know, Wings of Steel and all that.
Right,
it was like Slayer, King Diamond, like the heavier stuff. What later would be considered thrash.
Power.
It was power metal, you know, right. Or whatever. Because I remember having that magazine and stick with my grandma on King Diamond, Slayer, Testament, and I forget who else was on the cover, this quadruple thing.
That's
and,
enough right there.
And my grandma comes up and goes, what is this power metal? You know, because she has to enunciate very
it's
well.
Okay, Granny.
Yeah, she was just concerned. But so we had that guy as I had these magazines, and I was like looking through all this stuff and reading about these bands, and it wasn't super underground stuff, really. I mean, there were some smaller bands, but it was all like the major big four kind of stuff.
Sure.
So that was like
yeah, and then my friend, his dad was a maintenance guy at a hotel, and he found a tape in one of the rooms. This is where it gets. This is where everyone's story. So my friend, my friend brought this tape to school, and he's like, "You're gonna better give it back to me." But my dad found this stupid tape. I mean, maybe you'll like this garbage, because he was my metal friend, you know. Yeah. And in a school that small, you have the metal friend.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
You probably were the metal friend.
I was the metal friend that didn't look like that at all, because my parents weren't exactly down with that look at all.
Flash,
I was like youth group friend that was metal friend actually.
Undercover metal friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Covert. So he gave it to me, and one side was Scream Bloody Gore, and the other side was Dealing With It.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So,
DRI and
I mean,
Death.
Like dealing with it like seven times over the course of, you know,
yeah.
However long that record was, you know.
So there you go. You got some like crossover thrash.
So the
got
most raging crossover thrash mixed with, you know, very primeval death metal.
Who left that tape then?
I know. And I remember it was a brown tape, and it was written in the most like shop paint blue, like someone who's like on the tape,
just like basically
like someone who just learned how to write like 2 days ago. But anyway, so there was that. And then I also have to attribute being, I grew up in Central Illinois, near Champaign-Urbana, like 35 miles, which is college town, Big Ten town, whatever. Back then, when record stores actually existed, they had some bitchin' record stores.
Nice.
So when I, you know, outgrew the mall's record selection, I was like looking in the phone book, you know, had the big picture ads and stuff, and I was like, record stores. I'm like, ooh, Record Swap. Ooh, this looks interesting. So my mom, you know, like, sucker. I love you, Mom.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, could you drop me off at the Record Swap, please? You know. She's like, oh, isn't that in Campus Town? There's college students there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. So.
It's a good
Which is funny. She didn't talk like that but they retired to Wisconsin. She's been there for almost 20 years. So it's like, yeah.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah. Don't you know?
Yeah, she adopted that. My dad still sounds the same, but she's jumped right into that world. So anyway, she dropped me off, and I like opened the door, and it was just graffiti on both sides.
Nice.
Flyers all peeled up, and, you know, rip off, you know, bands, you know, bassist needed, blah,
blah,
blah.
You've arrived.
Exactly. And it was upstairs, and it smelled smelled kind of weird.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, man, am I going to meet college students and get stabbed?
You know? Like, this is a head shop.
Yeah. Well, then there was a couple head shop items, but yeah, like incense burners and stuff, which, you know, leads to mysticism and all that. Anyway, so went up the steps, and they all creaked, and there were like this weird music playing, and it was just like, that was back in, you know, the sort of era when it was just like, this is just weird music. And it was very self-aware weird music, but like indie weird, you know, like it was like either Butthole Surfers or like John Wayne or Hard-Ons or some music that was just kind of punky, but not really, just sort of psychedelic and usually horrifically profane, you know, non-parent friendly kind of stuff. So I just wandered in, and there was just, just people sitting behind the counter being record store employees.
Yeah.
I mean, good employees.
Stone.
They were
hanging
which
out.
Means they were good record store employees.
Exactly.
Just pretend, kind of jerks.
Kevin, I've
been there.
I've been there.
But so, you know, they had like 7 inches, all the records, and then this, you know, illicit video section in the back. Not porn, but just, but like stuff that was like, there's lots of blood and boobs.
Yeah.
You know? So.
the cult section.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, yeah, the rental for that. You know, so whoever was their buyer for metal and, you know, I don't want to say avant-garde. That makes it seem more like...
highbrow.
A little too artsy, yeah. You know. I mean, but they did have that, but just like metal, punk, hardcore, all that stuff was knew what they were doing.
So underground.
Underground for both all those genres. So yeah. I was just going in here and finding like, oh, they have nuclear death thing or the humanizers, all this sort of, at the time, like Wild Rag stuff and all the, you'd see these ads in the back of these magazines. It was like an eighth of a page. It looked like someone wrote it on their notebook and then, of course, sent it in to buy my record or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And zines and
this
stuff.
This is your new mecca, dude.
Exactly. So I found that and they had, you know, all the Ed Krang, Metal Forces, but they also had Maximum Rock and Roll and Flipside and all the punk stuff or whatever. So I was just like, you know, with my money I made,
one of this,
you know,
one
doing
of this,
chores and farm stuff. I would just grab this stuff and would take it home and
devour
that. So I had
front to back.
I had grocery store metal magazines. I had this outlet.
Yeah,
in an extremely rural environment that.
You gotta find that.
That's so sick, dude.
Find Frank Lucas and be like, he's still. I'll ask my brother because my brother took over the farm from my parents, so he's still there. I'll ask him if he's Frank Lucas. Is Frank Lucas still around? Yep. Frank, if you're listening, I'm sure you are.
Thank you.
Hashtag find Frank Lucas.
Thank you, Frank Lucas. Thank you. But so that's my long-winded. And then I went to high school, graduated, went to Chicago, went to college there, and of course that's anything and everything whenever you want it. So I went from, you know, very having to be very resourceful and finding stuff to just like
it all.
You know, and of course, take it for granted immediately.
Well, now there's a 14-year-old kid standing out in the line.
Exactly.
And you're doing it for them now.
Well, so good. The circle of life kind of thing. I hope they have their own Frank Lucas.
Right?
You are the Frank Lucas.
Maybe I am.
You are the Frank.
The internet has ruined that for everyone.
Yeah,
there's no
that's
more
true.
Frank Lucas
yes,
this entire time.
I haven't. It's exactly. It's like the mask is exactly what I'm wearing. That's weird, I guess.
So you bring up the importance of magazines and, like, you know, obviously, you know, trade is or print magazines aren't what they used to be. But I still, you know, I get Decibel magazine every month. And
sure.
I find reading those things to be really exhilarating every month. I find out about new even though, you know, I got the Spotify, I got the streaming, you still find about new stuff. Mm-hmm. So do you still keep all the magazines that your band is on?
Like
the covers?
No, I keep them. There's like a big box at home that I put that stuff in.
Do you remember the first one you guys were on?
I think when we got signed to Metal Blade, I think we were in Revolver. It was like a half page sort of thing.
Hottest Tricks in Metal?
Yes. It was like, a half page thing where we were all like young and skinny and just like all.
Yeah, exactly.
We were standing at a meat counter actually.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that was the first like. Of note, more so than like, you know, a zine kind of thing.
Okay.
But there was that, and then there was a journal sized magazine locally at San Diego called SD Music Matters.
Okay.
Which is debatable. Sorry, San Diego. And Everett San Diego's what? There are some bands that definitely matter there. I will say that. But anyway,
shout out Unbroken.
The band Unbroken?
Yeah, they're from.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, we're on like it was like one side was like. One subject matter and we were the other cover.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, okay. And then the article was like two paragraphs, so it's like, well, I guess cover that. But
you're the music that mattered on the flip side.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. You were the one that goes down and sits in the bathroom and gets all wrinkled. So
I want to kind of try and bring this back to where we started. Do you have any advice, especially for, because there's a lot of young people that I don't even really realize listen to our radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they come up to us in person, and I'm sure that happens to you every once in a while. Do you have any advice? Life advice, music advice, band advice for kids on their way up, things maybe to avoid, things to try and do. It's such a weird time because the industry is changing so fast.
I don't know. I'd have to, in the life advice section, I'd probably go on some weird personal tangent and end up having to scream into a pillow.
It's almost easy
excuse
to say
myself
like,
for
things
a second,
not
but,
to do, especially for opening bands. How many times have you had a local opener?
Well, I'm sure this is, and this is a disclaimer, I'm sure I've done this. I'm sure other, you know, like, I cannot claim innocence. Like, I was shot out of my mom with this incredible, you know, instinct of not to do.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's so weird because I think like,
or was there ever a time that you were really impressed by a local opener or something that like stuck in your mind? Because I know you guys are like headlining frequently, and so get here early.
First ones to get here, last ones to leave, kind of thing.
Yeah.
As far as like if you want to say like a local band, like on this tour, I mean, everyone's knows what they're doing and everything.
Yeah.
And I know when we were, you know, playing first to four or second to four or whatever, right after the local, there were plenty of things we did about like. I think it was using our best judgment, but without necessarily a proper perspective on, I don't want to say pecking order, but just kind of depending on the band, the amount of wide berth you should give, that sort of stuff. Because some bands are very particular about that. Like
know your role?
Yes. It's signed. It's, even if it doesn't affect anything, it's seen as a sign of disrespect.
Yeah.
If you don't ABC, whatever that is. You know, and other bands are super like,
it's cool, man, whatever.
You know?
Right.
So it's like accurately gauging, you know, whatever the Johnny Top Dog band is. And
sadly, that just kind of comes with time.
Yeah, exactly. Because assessing that's not, why is that going to be some sort of natural thing besides basic common sense, you know?
So you guys got to be have a lot of patience then as a band too, probably.
Less and less as the older we get. But yeah. Fortunately, we can employ people to be the asshole.
There you go.
And hide somewhere else.
Nice.
And go, I'm unhappy. And then he's like, oh, Jesus.
Give me a sip.
Guys, why are you doing this? Yeah, you know, so... I think we just had to learn like a lot, vast majority of other bands by doing and be that annoying band, I'm sure, to, and I'm not saying from personal experience, but like to the Deicides of the world, to the Morbid Angels of the world.
Right.
And, you know, bigger, you know, big dogs. And then eventually, you know, something breaks through and you catch on and then boom, 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 you know, and just, yeah. Cause I mean, I'd toured prior to this band since the early, 93, 94, I don't know, something like 93, I think. But, you know, never on the official, like, you know, here's your day sheet, here's this level. It was more DIY kind of like show up and here's some crackers, there's your dinner, you know.
Here's an orange.
No, it's seriously, I got paid $1 once, or not me, but the band, one of the bands I was in. Long story on that one. But anyway, so...
That'll be for the next time.
Yes. And so... You know, it was, that part was new for me too, like all these sort of, it's, I find metal funny because it's, you know, I wish I was exposed like on this level to other genres of music so I could say, oh, actually metal people are, they're really laid back, you know, but just sometimes I've noticed there's this like, you know, business, blah, respect for pennies. Shut the f- up. No one cares. The world laughs at you. You know, it's just chest puffing stuff. It's like, of course, basic respect for each other. Then here's the headline or whatever the thing is. But this, it's just, come on, man.
Right.
I know. It's just.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Josh from Cattle Decapitation. Now I got a deep cut for the fans of Cattle Decap.
Ooh.
Would you rather question?
Oh,
would
no.
Would you rather be
the
victim of a forced gender reassignment?
Okay, well.
Or a tsunami?
Well, you can recover from the tsunami. It's embarrassment. Oh, how. Yeah. It is. But forced gender, you're that's pretty much a for keeps thing. So I guess... as much as I hate to say it, God.
Yo, this guy wants a tsunami. He's not like.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, people. Maybe watching or hearing.
Hey, so one of our favorite questions to ask, and along the kind of the same lines, and show us if you can. You don't have to take your pants off. Pick a scar on your body. Tell us a story about how you got it.
Okay, you might not be able to see this. I don't know which bald spot you want to look at, but...
yeah, right. Oh, yeah. You got a little divot right there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that was... Jeez,
right behind the ear.
Yeah, I was in Wisconsin with my parents, because my grandparents had a little cabin on the lake, on Lake Michigan up there.
Well, come on out to the lake.
Yeah, oh, very much so.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, I don't know why I did this, but it was probably like 6 a.m., because that was back when, you know, you're little, you're just like, I am up, you know, for whatever reason. So my parents went up, which is odd, because my dad, you know, farm family, my dad gets up like 5:30 for no reason. You know, I mean, for reasonable, but like even if he's on, quote, vacation, he'll be up and just pacing around.
Once is a long time.
Stirring. So I was up before anyone and put on my clothes. I was like, I'm going to go outside, you know, explore around. And, it was dew, you know, because it was that early. And there was this glistening log.
I like the
visuals.
Yeah.
Fecal matter. And one side was the gently sloping ground covered in pine straw. And then the other side was, oh, when I say cliff, I don't mean like, you know, oh, the chasm or anything.
Like
I mean, like
Grand Canyon, yeah.
But like a little cliff, which went down to like flat limestone, and there was the shore right there because we were right on the water.
I already hate.
So there was this little rock that, you know, because it kind of goes, you know, like the stratified kind of rocks, and then, you know, yes, exactly.
Geology.
And then you know the trees erupting with roots. It looks really cool. It's all total band photo material. And so I'm like an idiot. I step on this log and I'm all doing this kind of thing because why not?
Six and it's 6 a.m.
Yeah, like why not do this? I'm like, dude.
Whoop.
And I just remember seeing a pine tree go whoop, and I hit my head on the corner of the rock that was sticking out.
Dude, that must have been, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that
and
was
that thing is still pretty prominent.
It was not good. So my skull was still soft and had not yet fused.
So that's when you got into metal.
That was the thing. Right on the cusp of it. They were like kind of debating what to do. But so I like,
I'll go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I was like unconscious for a while. And then I think I just sort of came to, was like, aah! And my, you know, parents, like the radar went up. I don't know how they heard because they were in a bedroom in this house that was not super far. But
oh, dude, that's parent radar enough, for sure.
So they shot up and I just remember looking. Man, I hope my parents aren't listening to this, but I remember looking up at my dad doing this kind of thing down the hill with his tighty whitey jockeys and his morning boner going like this. So,
bounce.
He's like, yo, this is an emergency.
You know.
Boner be damned.
And he like scooped me up and took me up to the house. And thankfully, because at that time they didn't have a full-time doctor up there because it's on an island.
And you were in a small,
It was on an island. Like, I mean, take the ferry and all that stuff. The doctor happened to be in town that weekend.
Holy crap.
So she did the whole whatever and, you know.
Irrigate.
The best
feeling
ever
when you
see your reflection in the stainless steel paper towel dispenser and a needle going in like this. Feels great. Looks great.
I know.
Love it.
I trust me.
So, she stitched me all up, and I probably made some odd noises as a kid.
Right.
And we came back, I had soup for lunch.
Do you still remember that part?
Because it's comforting.
I just spit and laughed and
cleaned it up.
So, this is the last question, man. What's being that we're in the Northwest? What's your favorite Northwest or Seattle band of all time?
Ooh, geez, that's a good one. I don't know. I got to really think. Besides the obvious stuff, I just say one of those because it's like, oh, I can remember.
Nirvana, Soundgarden,
Pearl Jam. All those guys.
You're like an underground music fan.
I know. I got to think of like what bands from up here that I'm like really.
Three Accused.
Oh yeah, the Accused, Metal Church,
Forced Entry,
Trials from up here.
Book of Blackers, Scarp. Undertow, Brotherhood.
Gosh, man,
Rest in peace.
Wow. Let's see. I don't know. I would say like
Melvins.
Yeah, Melvins started up here. They're at Aberdeen.
Yep.
And then I'm going to miss something. Like, oh,
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, I totally forgot
Heart.
About Heart. Yes, dude. Sick. I'm not going to say they're my favorite, but they're up there.
Amazing.
They're amazing.
Those voices.
Yes, man.
Is that what Travis is going for? Like with the kind of like, you know, the more melodic vocals? Is he going for Anna Nancy Wilson style? Is that what
I don't know if that's
his like ultimate
purpose in that, or like what he's going for, but he's...
it's getting there.
There's an appreciation.
Yeah.
I think it may be ABBA. Sorry.
So like the new album is Killer Man, Death Atlas. Pick it up on Metal Blade Records. Final words for the Northwest audience.
Just... thank you guys, and I'm going to include, I know you guys are, you know, two cousins that punch each other, but both Portland and Seattle.
Yeah.
How much we appreciate both markets, and Eugene, too.
Hi, Eugene.
And Olympia.
And little Idaho.
And Spokane. And Idaho, too. We'll throw you in there, you know, how much, not Utah. And, no, they're not Northwest. They don't, we'll talk about the weird Middle Belt part. Of which I am a part of. But thank you guys for being so continuously supportive. And we have some of our best shows in the United States in this part of the country. And
hell yeah.
People are infinitely supportive and just excited continuously. So that is just, it's why we do this. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man.